yeah, it's Monday night back in the bunker, another podcast. And what's happened since last week? Have we signed anyone? Have we not signed anyone? Has anyone moved a step closer to being signed? Has anyone moved a step closer to having chats about people being signed? Has anyone left? Has anyone entered? Has anyone come back again? Who knows? We'll find out later on as we get into the podcast. That's the podcast you're listening to. So tonight we actually have Robbie O'Reardon or Robbie O'Reilly? I don't know what his surname is. Robbie. Robbie, we've Robbie who's debuting on the pod, so it's at Robbie OR, I think it's underscore OR, so go follow him. We've Big Joe Walsh back in as well with us. He's done a couple of pods, so he's in as a regular as well. Steve-O and Dave Thomas are in, and there's myself, of course, Phil Casey, you know me at this stage. And we're going to do the podcast in a second. Just before we start the podcast, look, the Anfield Wrap are over in Dublin on August. What day is the match on, Stephen?
The 5th of August.
So I think the match is on the 5th, so they're in Dublin on Friday night, August the 4th. There's tickets on sale now for £16.50. I think there's they've a load of lads in there. We don't do live things, just so you know, right? So it's not like that we're trying to hide it, so, but I do know the lads. It's going to be a great night. There's going to be a quiz, it'll be Q&A's. Neil Atkinson doing his all his talky thing.
Are they going to play us in
their... No, they're playing us on the Saturday morning, yeah. So we're also playing the Anfield Wrap, so the Trippers are playing the Anfield Wrap on Saturday morning. Assuming we can make it all work out. I'm trying to sort out a pitch for us, right? And we'll take videos and photographs and we'll stick them out there on the whole lot. So at the moment, the Trippers are 2-0 up against the Anfield Wrap.
Steve's
top goal scorer, but he's going off to Munich to sign a contract with 1860 Munich. That Ian Eyre just got relegated. Anyway, right? So anyway, the main thing is there's tickets on sale for the Anfield Wrap gig. Get on at £16.50, and it's definitely worth the while going in. It'll be a great crack that night. And they're also doing a special gig. This is only found out today, but Si Mooney's crowd, you never walk alone, Irish Red Supporters Club, they are running a big event on the Saturday of the match in the Lansdowne Bar Hotel. And if anyone is in Dublin for the game, the Lansdowne Bar Hotel is before the match, and it's just down beside Baggot Street, right? So stick Baggot Street into your Google Maps and you'll find it, right? And there's a huge, the Den Bar, it's all out the front. The last time it was there, it was mental. It was just the maddest place you're going to be.
I'll be on next week.
So yeah, and that's the other thing. Soy is joining the crew as a regular member onto the crew, so he'll be in as well. He'll tell us more about it. But yeah, that's going on. So get on there on the Saturday as well, and we'll be at the game as well. So there'll be a few of us at the match that day, so you'll see our heads knocking about. And we've got something which is more ourselves planned for the day of the game, and it should be interesting, something different as well. So without further ado, here's the podcast. You're probably wondering where the Michael Beale interview. Well, it's not on the podcast because that's a separate podcast, and that will be out maybe tomorrow. And who knows, if you're listening to this on Thursday, it was probably out yesterday. Or maybe it's out the next day. It could be tomorrow. So I'll just say, it's out tomorrow. But it's out tomorrow. So that's it. So here's the bit that we recorded earlier, that we put after the intro bit that you think is recorded just straight away. Right, lads. Podcast after that periscopey bit. Right, first up tonight, lads. Peter Moore is the Liverpool chairman.
Yeah.
Okay, where do we stand on Peter Moore? It's not literally standing him, because obviously we wouldn't want to kill him like James Milner and the Nivea ad.
But
like,
Joe stood him, we'd kill him.
Joe has feet like that dinosaur. Look at the size of him.
Big feet Joe, that's
big feet Joe Walsh.
You know what they say about guys with big feet? Big shoes.
Right, so Peter Moore's, Stephen, you've been happily impressed with our new CEO.
I have, yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, his job isn't to take the piss on Twitter with fans. It's to run the club well. From what I can see so far, he's only in the job a little while. He seems to be going about things the right way. We had the lot. Okay, listen, there was the fuck up with Van Dijk. I don't know how much of the club's fault that was, or how much it was down to somebody actually just blowing their beans early. But hopefully he goes. Listen, we don't know. He's only in the job a couple of months. I like the interaction he has with the fans.
So far.
Yeah, I do. Listen, sometimes the CEO role can be a bit stiff. You get the likes of the last three or four that we've had in there, even though Ian Eyre wanted to be this man of the people, and I'm a Liverpoolian and a fan of, you know, whatever else, he did seem disconnected and people were pissed off at him by the end.
Dave.
Yeah.
I want to put it to you, right? I actually thought it was a fucking blag account. The way he's been talking back to some of the stuff that's come in.
It wouldn't be a surprise if you got an announcement on the official site saying, this is not his Twitter.
Yeah. You know?
But to be fair, look, he seems human. I think that's, I suppose, the biggest thing, right? He seems human. I don't want to go overboard on it, because wait until he's had, you know, fucking 2 months of people saying, just sign someone, you cunt, every time he says something. Like, you know,
42 times an hour. Early.
Let's see if his sense of humour is still there after that. Yeah. But I suppose, and what will be interesting, I think, to see is, does he engage legitimately via it? So it's all well and good, you know, make it fun and say, you know, that, you know, the lettering on the shirt,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
The budget,
but is he actually going to say, respond to legitimate things on there? Like, if so, if someone asks a question to him about ticketing, for example, will he say, yeah, you're right, there's something we need to look at, or whatever? So it's all well and good being sarcastic but and funny, but if he's silent when serious issues come up but he doesn't engage then, I think he's going to end up looking like a bit of a knob.
Well, yeah. I think one of the things as well, within about a month, he won't be running that account because the fact that people have seen he engages, yeah, means that there'll be far more, you know, traffic on his account.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Tony Barrett does now as the new role, right? Because yeah, he's come in and he could be saying to him, you've got to, this is the way you've got to do it, right? If you yeah want to engage with fans, you've got to be open, you've got to be willing to do this. And Barrett hates Twitter, but he knows it's a necessary evil, like, you yeah know, to engage with the fans. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, funny, whatever, but it can't be a one-way street. It's got to be like, he's got to engage properly on legitimate things and make an impact on things. And I think if
plus
he does
it'll
that
all be funny once we actually get business done during yeah the summer. If we actually piss yeah about all summer long and don't get deals done, exactly, then he's just going to open himself up for a huge amount of abuse.
I mean, wait till we sign Oxlade and Chamberlain. Then we'll see if he's funny.
Oh.
Yeah, just with the Barrett point as well, I think that there could be a conceited effort within the club to actually have some like a genuine presence on social media, because I think thinking like the last person that was like that was, remember Chen Chan came in,
yep,
and he was fairly active.
That worked out well.
That worked out very well. So, yeah, I think there could be a bit of that, but then we'll see in the end if he starts getting harangued with abuse, whether he'll carry on.
Yeah.
Joe, have you paid any attention to him?
A small bit, but it's too early to make any judgments until to see how transfers turn out and stuff like that. At the moment, yeah, I'm surprised he's doing this interaction on Twitter, and I don't know whether it's a good idea or not, but if he gets the signing done, gets right amount of money in for players that are going to leave this summer, well then, yeah, then we can judge them properly.
I think it's an interesting point you make around the social media thing, yeah, right? That like, you know, the fans, like, we've got some absolute balloon heads as fans, right? Big, huge, clear balloon heads, right? Yeah. That just wander around.
Lovely clear balloons.
And just wander around fucking, like, tweeting, Linda, sign Rouse. Yeah, I'll write them sound.
No, my favourite bit is where she says, tell your husband to sell. Right, and, yeah, and she, like, she's gonna go, fuck, that's an idea.
Yeah,
John.
I've just been on Twitter.
This guy just said maybe you should sell the club. What do you think? Yeah. You know, I know, I never thought of it before either. Like, you know, I'm so glad.
What else did I say on there? Boy Rouse.
Yeah, I'm so glad that FSGO. NFC 1982 tweeted me to make that suggestion. You know, and yeah, sell the club.
Which one was it again?
LFC 1982.
All right. Not 1892.
1982.
1982.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Yeah. Not 1892. Don't confuse him with LFC 1892. Yeah.
There's a different one who says Sign Royce. He's 1892.
1892. Yeah.
But it's just fucking mad.
Because John got excited because he thought it was LFC 1892 who spent the last 3 years saying Sign Royce repeatedly.
I like to think of John Henry scrolling through his Twitter going, look at these twats.
I know, yeah.
Look at these sitting in, like, but Scrooge McDuck swimming through all his money. You know, looking through his phone going, yep, just made another 100 grand. Yep. Sign Royce, no.
Joe, like, the way they announced Salah, right, was like, you know, he's sitting there scrolling through Twitter and the whole lot. Like, there seems to be a genuine now poke at the fans. You think it's fair?
Probably, yeah. They do get a lot of stick from fans, and there's so much shit on Twitter at the moment that, yeah, there's probably no harm in having a dig at certain fans like this. I thought it was a bit amusing, the tweet that went up, so.
It is. But it was, and in fairness, like, as you said, scrolling through, you could see, when whoever the marketing department says, why don't we have him sitting there scrolling through?
I'd love to freeze frame through Salah, scrolling through to see how many tweets they had to hide. You know, because I'd say there was a lot of people going, announce Salah, you cunts. Just fucking announce it. Just fucking do it. Yeah. What the fuck are you waiting for?
So imagine how many tweets that John Henry's gotten over the last thing. Just pay the fucking fine, the 100,000 million. Man. Yeah, FSGO.
Get out of our club.
Get out of our club.
Fucking assets.
If you're not going to spend the money, just fuck off, right? Don't negotiate. Just pay the money. How do you know what's going on? Yeah. Because fella emailed me.
I knows.
DM'd.
Yeah.
DM'd. Yeah, all over the place. DM sent.
Anyway, that's
but Peter Moore, happy enough for Peter Moore?
Yeah, for a moment. I don't know. Like,
do you not think he's going to fall on his own sword, though?
I don't know. Like, it's impossible to know.
It's not.
It is.
It's not, 'cause that's what happens at Liverpool.
No. Like, eventually, ultimately, Ian Ayre did a better job than his predecessor. And
Rick Perry?
Yeah.
Who said so?
Of course, that was his
dickhead.
Yeah. So we've improved
his
one. one CEO was, you know, the improvement from Porcelow to Ian Ayre was seen. And yeah, people were pissed off at him over certain things, like deals that didn't get over the line. Shit happens in football. There are reasons why deals don't happen. And yeah, we get frustrated, but that's life. And we're not, and we weren't at that point, a big fish. We didn't have the funds to be able to do it. So we were always trying to get something.
I think what they've got, and I think again, Tony Barrett coming in is going to help with this. I think that they need to understand or recognise the disproportionate impact some of the local commentators have on the club, right? So if you get the Echo and if you get some, let's say, Spirit of Shankly, and if you get some of these groups on board, your life is much easier, right? Because they cause, and legitimately so in some cases, a lot of noise and a lot of swirl. And I think that's where you get this FSG out, FSG in, and this, you know, this, you know, never got over being associated with Hicks and Gillette and all that kind of stuff. So I think that they've got to bring those guys on board. And I think I don't see how Barra takes this job without being assured that that's going to happen. Like, I don't see how he takes it and then turn around and go,
that's the thing.
Maybe they just doubled his salary.
Maybe, yeah. Just fucking pay it. Yeah, just fucking pay it.
Get it done. But, like, that's the thing about bringing Moores on. Like, he's used to Twitter. He's used to Twitter by heading EA. Like, can you imagine the amount of lunatics when they announced the ratings in FIFA, right? What do you mean John Flanagan's only 62? I had him calculated at 67 because his XG is the same as the XG chain and last.
You can imagine these people, like, sitting at home wanking to Final Fantasy VII characters in it. Do you know what I mean? Look at her with her wings and her eyes. And the horns on her head. Oh, I'd love to be grabbing onto those horns.
That wasn't an EA game.
I don't fucking know.
That was very realistic, though. You're obviously, like,
you've obviously done this.
Sent a few videos.
Listen, I am LFC 1892. We know this.
No, you're that cunt LFC 1982.
We know this.
We know that.
I'm both of them.
That's how I make friends.
Yeah. I follow myself.
But genuinely, he's dealt with these lunatics.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, once you say genuinely,
if you want to make a really serious point, say literally.
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 Yeah. He has literally dealt with lunatics.
Lunatics, yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, we don't have a clue. And there's no way of knowing until we're a season
and
or two.
And who cares?
No, I don't
care. It's a tiny thing. Like, you know, I mean, all of them will be judged by how successful a club is. That's the reality. Exactly. Win trophies, everyone's happy. Win trophies, he'd be the best CEO of all time.
Robbie. Does his hair impress you?
Speak, please. Bring some sense to this, Robbie. Come on.
Sorry, what's the question?
Summarize it in a nice, neat little bowl.
The question is, Robbie, right? When you look at it from many angles, are you impressed with stuff? Things?
I think I'd find, would be the same like Dave, I'm very positive how actually dug on about things. I think maybe the only major fuck up in the last 3 or 4 years have been the ticket and pricing. But I think overall, I think just people get their knickers in the twist over
everything.
Yeah. And I think that over the last, I think since with the Barrett appointment and with Moore, well, not even with Moore because we don't know who's going to go, with the Barrett appointment, I think they're starting to move towards a model that will make people happy. But the only issue is that they've done this 5 or 6 times now, where they've started something, scrapped it, have the transfer committee, they scrapped that when Rodgers went. Now they have this Michael Edwards as a director of football. So, we'll see.
I would throw it out there that it's impossible to make our fan base happy.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Invent a time machine and go back to 1986. I think that's
Even then, there'll be people there that weren't happy.
And they look at Rodgers won 13 on the Spain, or what was it, 11 on the Spain, and people still give him shit for not winning 14.
But isn't it the nature of sport that you're never going to be happy, right? That's the nature of being a fan of a team.
I'm happy most of the time.
Because you can't win all the time. So, but it's a perpetual fear.
Your happiness is only based upon the expectations that you set.
You can if you're not a national
all,
team.
Sport or following a sports team is all about wanting more. That's what every club wants, that, right? It doesn't matter who you support, you want more. If you're Real Madrid and you've just won the league and the Champions League, you want to win it again. Do you know what I mean? The expectation is always there. It's the nature of sport.
Is that only a modern thing, though? Because when you look at what people want more 20 years ago, like that upper season,
the FA Cup.
No, that's true. Well, I don't know.
Well, back 20 years ago, the FA Cup was held in the same reverence as winning the league, right? It was a big, huge day. It was a big,
or
huge occasion.
To it, yeah.
No, it was. And the reason why, because football wasn't on your television as much, right?
But
the FA Cup,
the FA Cup games
were always on the television.
But you got into the Cup when it was
20 years ago. That was 96.
Well, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the fuck are you talking about?
What you were talking about there was only the league winners getting into the
Champions League,
the European Cup. And therefore, winning the FA Cup mattered because you were going into the Cup Winners' Cup.
And there was
a cup for European football.
A special cup for the Cup winners. There was a special cup for the league winners. And then for the lads who didn't really do great, they got into the Fairs Cup or the UEFA Cup.
Top clubs 30 years ago, so like it was in the 70s and 80s, Forest, United, when they win these, they didn't really care about the FA Cup, because if you look at their win the European Cup every year.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's more of a, I think that's more of an issue.
As a 40-year-old man, Robbie, I'd be to differ, because there was a big thing made about the FA Cup.
No, the FA Cup is huge. I remember.
Yeah, we didn't win it for 14
years.
But
it was huge, and it was when we won it in 85-86 and we won the double. Winning the double back then was massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was, like, and it's, but yeah, it's become the norm now. Right, like it happens so regularly since the turn of the century.
94, 95 was kind of the time when this started to happen, when doubles and trebles were happening.
Yeah, United won it.
Once United did the double double,
94 they won it, right?
Yeah, but, and then they did the double double, and that just changes the whole complexity on that tournament.
No, they didn't do the double double. They lost to Everton the next year.
No, yeah. but they did subsequently do the double double. So they won the double twice.
Yeah. Oh.
And then Arsenal did the double, so they'd won the double twice. So that's the role in terms of, whereas before no team had ever won the double twice.
Spurs won it twice, but then.
No, they won it once.
But then, even look at even like come back to the Cup, I think like the two best managers from the 70s and 80s never won it. No one ever thinks about that. Paisley and Clough never won the FA Cup, so.
Yeah.
I think failures, aren't they?
Well, let's be honest about it. They were visionaries. They knew that the European Cup was worth a lot more. It was only about the league and the European Cup. Yeah,
there we
exactly.
Go. Oh no, Paisley won it once.
Well, thinking about chat.
No, the European Cup. Yeah.
Oh, once. Okay.
Yeah. Fagan won it twice. Right?
Fagan won it twice.
No.
No, it was the other way around.
Other way around. Yeah.
Paisley won it twice. Fagan won it once.
Paisley won it three times.
Was it 83? 84. 84. Wrong, 84. 85. No, it was 84. 88. That was the year Mary Robinson was president. I think Bross were number one as well. If we say every year, we'd be right and wrong equally. So
exactly.
Be grand. Joe, moving on to transfers, let's move on, because Salah's done, so the rumour mills are gearing back up again, because there's now a load more of emails floating around. People are getting DMs here, DMs there, there's the little envelope under the table, there's people who are working in offices that we don't even know exist, giving out the information left, right and centre. So the heavy link at the moment is Keita from Red Bull Leipzig in Germany, right? Now, all the papers in Germany are saying, and they're obviously being briefed from the German side, that Leipzig are not selling them. Now, it's not like 80 million is his price or whatever it is. They're saying he's not for sale, right? And it seems that the English press are being briefed that, oh yeah, they said 80 million, but that there doesn't seem to be any mention of 80 million in any German press releases whatsoever, right? For you, Joe, is Keita the biggest signing of the summer if this 80 million price tag is true?
Yeah, I think so, because centre field is a position I think we need to get someone in, and just reading stuff, I don't know much about him, because when would you get to watch Red Bull if you're not really following the Bundesliga week to week? But any of the reports I've read on him, I was like, there is conflicting. Some people compare him to Deco and some people compare him to Kante, so I don't know how. Completely different players, but he seems to be a box to box midfielder. He's 22. Yeah, if he's as good as a lot of the German
pundits
say,
if he's as good as Deco Kante, we call ourselves a player.
I think
Deco Kante, wasn't he the lead singer of Musical Youth?
I think 70 million, if we can get 70, I know it's crazy money, but if he's as good as he's saying at that age, yeah, I think break the bank, go from. and we still need four or five other players, but there hasn't been many other players linked centre midfield with us yet that would be on that sort of level. And yeah, I think definitely Procedure, but whether he's available or not, I don't know. Red Bull apparently don't have any financial issues, so why would they sell?
And they're in the Champions League.
True, yeah.
So, and they're actually in the group stages of the Champions League, as opposed to us being in a qualifier, which is not a done deal when it comes to Liverpool.
Yeah, a lot of reports out of the club are saying they don't need to sell, and they're not selling. They want to stick with the squad they have and improve it for this Champions League. So,
I thought about this. Red Bull's a PLC, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for a couple of million quid, you could, you know, get a little Ebola outbreak in a couple of their factories. Share price hits the floor. All of a sudden, financial situation at RB Salzburg is not so fucking rosy. And Keita gets signed for 35 million. Plus add-ons, the 2 million for the Ebola virus. 37 million quid all in. Job done.
I'm just saying now what I would like to say. Structured under a different thing though.
What I'd like to say is, if for any reason Ebola outbreak happens in a Red Bull factory, I had nothing to do with it.
That was LFC 1982. Yeah. The mad
just
bastard.
Yeah. He's fucking, I can't be held liable for anything he does.
But like,
I have a different theory to Joe, which is not different in so much as I think the deal's done.
I would agree with that.
Because we're not linked with any, to your point, we're not linked with any other midfielders. And I think, do you remember when we nearly won the league? Right? The theory was...
What, in December?
1897.
The theory was, right, that we'll... Why would Suarez leave? Right? Why would he go to Arsenal? That was, or whatever their theory was. You know, why would he go to another club, you know?
We'd Balotelli lined up.
The players are going to ask themselves, how likely are we to do this again?
Yes.
Right? So if you're in this team, and I know that in the Champions League, how likely are they to do it again? To come second? Yeah. They're never going to win the league. We could win the league in theory. So that's why I think it's a good one. And I've just got a funny feeling that all this posturing, all this bollocks, whatever, we've only targeted one midfielder, this guy. I think we'll pay whatever it takes to get him out of there. I think we probably know he wants to come. And it's just a case of getting the...
So your thoughts are that as of January, we had all of our players tapped up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Tapped up, deals agreed, and then we just said, right,
because to be fair,
we've got a war chest
we've
here.
Always done this, right? Since this committee has come in, we have always gone for the player first, agreed the personal terms, and then expected them to force the move, right? Mane, we did it with Lovren, we did
it. What you're saying is we're unsufferable cunts.
Pretty much, which I want us to be unsufferable cunts.
Yeah.
As long as we get the deals done, I don't care how we do it. But I got a funny feeling he's done.
If you look at the way the deals actually, or the way it's come out in the press as well, generally, it was like they won't sell, and now all of a sudden they will sell for a certain price. And what you'll probably say over the next couple of weeks is that we'll bid. It'll be like Salah, we'll be talking for edge, and then we'll end up agreeing some add-ons like Salah, and then he'll end up joining.
The thing with Salah,
plus he's not linked to anyone else. That's the other thing. I know they keep saying there's other people who would be interested in him, but like,
could go to Munich though if they wanted him.
Yeah, if they
just signed your man off.
If he was honestly open for it,
yeah.
If he was honestly on the market, right? Even reluctantly, there'd be other clubs in for him, and it's not. We're the only ones.
But I like the Salah thing, right?
Yeah.
Despite all the thing about, we were just negotiating with Roma and thing, right? If you go back to just before the international matches kick off, right? Salah is out playing for Egypt in the international matches. He isn't leaving. He's not going to leave the international camp to do a medical. Yeah. If the deal is all agreed at that stage, neither club need to worry about anything that's going on, right? Despite all, and we know that as well, that the same news report or news feed was fed to the fans for 3 weeks. It was a step closer. Another step closer today.
Edge is closer.
And then right back at the very start was the fact that Roma had to have sold X amount by June the 30th to meet the FFP from their point of view.
Yeah.
Right? So like when you put it all together, actually, as soon as the international break finished, the deal was wrapped up in the space of 3 or 4 days. Salah was announced, his medical was done, and the pictures and all were out on the website. So it was exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
The Keita piece was they're saying if a deal was to be done, it would be done much later in the window because it was going to be more difficult to get him out of Leipzig because Red Bull don't want to sell him.
Yeah, and they don't want to sell Forsberg either, right? No. So they don't want to be seen as a selling club. So they're going to stretch this out because, again, they want to keep, they are right, they do want to keep a lot of their squad together. They
and
know
they wanted to be, they wanted to be a case of where they say it was an offer we couldn't turn down.
They're not going to go fucking July the 1st, off you go. Like, you know, it's going to be late.
From as well, so exactly. There could be
now, let me go there. because
we
Red
do
Bull
have this Brazilian superstar, Lucas Leiva, we could offer.
No, but Red Bull Leipzig have recently just bought Hunkel Hitter from Red Bull Salzburg.
Totally just made that up.
No, I didn't.
Totally made that
up. I didn't.
Uncle Hitler.
They signed Uncle Hitler.
Uncle Hitler.
They signed Uncle Hitler from Austria. There's no record of this type of deal ever happening before in Germany.
I swear to God, if they sign Uncle Hitler, I'm supporting them. Yeah. Liverpool,
he walked in first day. I have an idea. We're going to take over the league.
What's that touch on you
for?
No, but they've signed Hunkel Hitter from Red Bull Salzburg for $8 million, who happens to be a box-to-box player who wore the number 8 at Salzburg. It's posturing.
I'm telling you, he's done.
Right, but it's not happening.
And do you reckon Van Dijk's done as well?
And Van Dijk's done.
I have doubts about that. I don't think that will happen.
You don't think Van Dijk happens?
No, I reckon, well, it could be Chelsea using this to get your man, one of the Italian defenders, but I think that both sail about that, to be honest. I also think it could be that we need someone else coming in for him instead of taking the piss, come back to Southampton and say we want him.
We need someone else to come in.
I don't want Chelsea to come in. I don't want them for that money.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. Crazy. But you could have someone like, if Chelsea come in and bid for him, and we can say, well, there's an auction here, we want them, and you want to come to us, but I don't see us going straight back in there.
No, I think what's going to happen is Chelsea, whether they do or don't, will be rumoured to make a bid. We'll make a bid. You'll choose us and we'll sign him. Again, I just think. For all the swirl and all the noise and all the whatever, there have only been three concrete links to players, right? Salah, Keita, Van Dijk. That's it, right?
This was like this last summer, though.
And this is who he wants, right? And I just think that's who he'll go and get. And I don't think it would have been... We would have gone so big on those three if we weren't very confident again. Now, we might have fucked up the Van Dijk thing, that's true, but I don't see it. I just think...
I'd love us to have a signing from left field. Just someone that nobody had a clue about.
Hunkel Hitter.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Please don't upset me.
That's agents playing games. If you look at last summer, though, with the signing from left field, nobody knew about Wijnaldum until it actually happened.
No, everybody was looking at Sissoko.
It was a man off that held off Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, it was.
And Zielinski.
And then there was a rumour we were going to get a Newcastle player, and it was Sissoko.
Remember Zielinski was in training wearing his Liverpool jersey.
Yeah, oh man. And free kicks.
Well, they could go back for him. But I mean, as I said, we're not linked with a single midfielder apart from Keita. Not a single one. In any legitimate way. And the other thing that always tips me a little bit is, I know the Echo, in terms of their transfer blog, have turned into like a clickbait fucking load of shit. But when they start writing player profiles of targets, that's usually a sign that it's a serious target. It isn't just we're linked with whoever.
Click this link to see who we might sign.
Yeah, when they write the proper in-depth kind of analysis of a player, I usually think that's a sign. They've been given a tip from the club where this is who we want.
Generally the same for journalists that have Joyce, Hunter, Dr. Guardian, used to be Barrett, Pierce, Stanley Dempsey, FR.
And the other thing
on Van Dijk,
started to come back into reports from those guys now. Van Dijk wasn't mentioned for weeks, and now it's like, well, I think last week it was like, it remains to be seen, is that as that run its course. That's and now it's like, they still want him. Klopp still wants him.
That's because James Pearce is back, who's the head of the transfer committee.
Of course he is.
That's the thing, but journalists could be on holidays as well, and like they would... Like it was like that Pearce was on holidays.
If Jimmy Pearce doesn't tell me, I don't believe it.
See, that's why you can't listen to journalists. You should be listening to people on Twitter who know what's happening, because journalists take holidays, but these guys are never off.
These guys are
always
24/7, 365.
They've got like full roaming, no matter where they are.
And
they can check
their emails. Vodafone Sure signal to make sure they've got 5 bars at home.
Joe, if you said you're not up for the Van Dijk love, right? So who would you want instead of him?
I think you were just saying you're not up for it at 70 million.
No, I don't. I think
Luke Shaw.
I think it's for
40 million.
John. Luke Shaw.
No, I think, I like Van Dijk. He's a better centre half than Lovren, but for that type of money.
Come in here with that trash talk.
But for that type of money, I can't. I know it doesn't matter to us what they spend, but you can't justify 60 to 70 million on a centre half
that isn't just fucking Paolo Maldini.
Yeah, exactly. If it was Benucci or something, you'd say yes, splash it. He's done it for years.
Benucci
31.
Like, still, you get two or three great years out. I just think Van Dijk is a
Can you imagine good, Vinucci in our defense?
He's a good Premiership defender.
I can't. I can't. In FIFA 13, I signed him.
Alderweireld out of Spurs for 50 million.
In the league.
I agree. You would, right? But we should have got him for 12 million off Atletico 2 fucking years ago.
That doesn't work like that, though, because
it seems to work that way for Spurs when they bought him for 12 million. It seemed to work exactly like that.
It depends on the play. It depends.
I'm not fucking players. Playing football manager. Anyway, I'm talking about an actual situation that happened.
So, to your point about 70 million, right? I'm trying to go through my head going, okay, who are the real obvious centre half candidates, right? So, who are the best centre halves in the league?
In the Premiership, right?
Yeah, or just any league.
Well, all right, let's top 10. Who are we thinking of here? Who's in the same bracket as Van Dijk?
But if they're in other leagues, they're more likely to go to
probably the two Spurs lads are in the top 10.
I don't think. I think they're a good partnership, but I think Vertonghen's the weaker link there, right?
Yeah, I think a lot goes into partnerships with centre halves, though, because if you look at Spurs, they've Wanyama and they are sitting them. But also, any centre half, I think, is going to be. They're going to have the same problems.
If they do get Cade, he could make Lovren and Matip look a lot stronger than.
To be fair,
he's more of a Deco style player than Lovren and Kante.
On the time they spent together, Lovren and Matip are as good as anything in the league.
Statistically,
Terence can go up for me.
Only because he made
just
Brad Jones.
Just N'Golo Kante.
He made fucking Brad Jones the best goalkeeper in Holland. There's no argument here. Even if he costs 20 million, you go, well, if he made Brad Jones the best goalkeeper in Holland, imagine what he could do with these two clowns.
But I tell you, that you know, yeah, Brad Jones is at Chelsea. Who?
He used magic powers.
Magic powers.
He's a Dr. Seuss character.
But genuinely, he made Brad Jones the best goalkeeper in Holland.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe if we said on Van Dijk, and I Koulibaly is it the Napoli?
Koulibaly,
yeah, he's impressive. Every time I watch him, yeah. I think he's pacey and he's good in the air. I think pace is what we need.
Pace is what we need.
I think that's why he wants Van Dijk, because Van Dijk is fairly quick and he's playing a high line.
Then he's also great,
but he wasn't playing a high line for Southampton.
Well, yeah, well, that's why I'm money.
But you're working on the basis that he is quick and therefore should be able to adapt with his pace.
Joe, you were a centre-back, right? Now, you know from...
He was, and a very good one, but asking him something about pace might not be the best question.
The question I'm asking is, there's some centre-backs who like to defend balls over the top. They fancy themselves to, if the striker gets them torn, to get back and cover, and like to make covering tackles. There's some centre-backs who don't like that. Skirtle would be a great example of it.
Skirtle's got a Newcastle player. Apparently, Benitez was going to walk, and they thought, how could we make this happen? Yeah. Let's give him Martin Skirtle.
Skirtle at Newcastle is fantastic.
That's a fucking
it's fantastic.
We're saying that now until he scores in two fucking games.
Oh, he's definitely scoring.
Oh, he's definitely
scoring.
But he's also given us.
But he won't celebrate.
No. But come here, he's also scoring an own goal for us and giving us a penalty. Yeah. So it's like he gets
it there for that.
It'll just even itself.
A 2-1 win, Martin Skirtle involved in all three goals.
Yeah. It's the only thing that would make me nervous is if he had hair. Because if he has hair, he's going to be.
Just think about it. John Joe Shelby and Martin Skirtle on the team against us. It's a goal fest.
I love it.
There was Pepe Ryan as well, apparently.
It's going to be 5-4. Skirtle with the hat trick.
Talk of Lucas to Newcastle.
Oh, Lucas might go to Newcastle as well, I hear.
He's gone back to Brazil, I think.
Do you think so?
Who?
I think Lucas
is never leaving, Robbie. Just I've accepted it.
There is that. But there's talk that just Gremio can't afford to bring him back yet.
Gremio are saying, sorry, we can't afford it. But you spent 500 million on this lad over.
No.
Yeah, but that was our only 500 million. So sorry.
We got to stick in with FFP. It's not in Brazil. No. It's coming.
We're preemptively adhering to FFP. I'd say Lucas takes another contract somewhere, whether it's at Liverpool or another club in the Premiership or Italy, and then goes back to Brazil 34.
I think you go to Newcastle.
Yeah, it would make sense
because you make the money there. I mean, he's on good money. Like,
yeah, they'll pay him the wages and he'll fit in with Benitez. He'll do a job there.
Well, back to the point, Joe, looking at it, isn't this the key bit to the way this type of centre backs we need to sign? Forgetting the whole Van Dijk thing, we actually need to sign centre backs who are as comfortable defending the space behind them as they are the space in front of them.
Yeah, but when you're looking at the few players centre halves available, there's no one springs. So, like, look in the Premiership, who's been late, like Michael Keane, Ben Gibson, Winston Ray. They're all sort of just average
goofers.
Yeah. There's no one that stands out there.
They're backs to the wall defenders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is fine, but it's not the way we play.
No. So I can see why they're being linked with him, but I just...
I like Alfie Mawson out of Swansea. I think he's got a bit of something about him now.
He's already genetically superior,
but
Welsh wanker.
He's pretty quick, though.
I don't like him.
We may as well just sign Kieran Clarke because he's Irish.
Who?
Fuck's sake, Kieran Clarke.
Right. Uncle Hitler.
There's never been a good Irish centre half, so let's just leave that one there, right?
Yeah. You know? Paul McGrath was shite, wasn't he?
He was a midfielder.
Yeah.
Mark Lawrence was crap as well.
Crap.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah. Terrible defenders.
Fucking Kevin Moran.
Alan Hansen's
brilliant. Mick McCarthy.
Mick McCarthy. Awful. Useless. Steve Staunton. All right, I'll give you that one.
Ashley Williams.
Ashley Williams.
Ash the Bash.
Yeah,
Ash the Bash. AKA Jonathan Tah.
He is a phantom player. Everyone who loves Jonathan Tah hasn't seen him play. Never seen him play.
I will wager money they haven't watched him play.
Someone had him on a comparison website, like, you know,
transfermarket.com.
Comparethedefender.com. And Jonathan Tah was
no comparable. It's comparable defender. So you stick in a name, comparable defenders. Jonathan Tah just comes up for all.
I tell him, and he is Ashley Williams.
He is.
Yeah,
he is. I've watched him. I've said it from the very off. I'm just like, it's not, it did not surprise me that when he went to Leverkusen, the defence got worse as opposed to getting better.
Yeah.
But that's impossible.
He's brilliant.
This is it. Yeah, you don't understand. He's 22.
But you don't
understand.
He's
a brilliant up and coming centre back.
People don't understand.
His XG. It's fantastic.
Well, it is for the other team. It's like,
listen, everybody's entitled to opinion. Let's not mock others.
Okay, so look, in terms of that, so in reality, we've only got two concrete links, which is Keita and Van Dijk. Those things happen early, like, at least we've got matches starting soon.
Yeah. But, no, you're probably in a situation, if they can be done by mid to late July, let's say a month from now, Liverpool are at the point whereby it's looking like those two signings happen, right? Mm. And then that puts us with our, let's be honest, three top signings. It gives us a chance to make probably two more additions, probably a left back if we are going to do one, and maybe, depending on who goes out, another midfielder or another attacker.
I mean, the reality is, if we sign those two, sign Keita and Van Dijk, the reality is, apart from a left back, we're probably all right. You know,
squad-wise, I don't think so. I'm just looking at the squad at the end of the last season, and the bench was just kids, Woodburn and the likes, nowhere near good enough.
But you'll have Henderson back, you'll have Sturridge back, you've got Ings back, you've got Mane, you know, you've got
Karius.
Sturridge is gone. I still think.
If nobody else goes and we just sign those two, too bad.
Just from last year, I thought we were five or six players short. Scored, especially with Champions League.
Yeah, that's
true. Extra pressure. I don't know.
But surely the idea is that the likes of Woodburn, who wasn't, like, it's another year in his development. And I would rather see, and I mean this, I don't care what anybody thinks of Oxlade-Chamberlain, the amount of times he should be getting game time based on the other players at our club.
Exactly.
We should just hang on to the lads we have. Ajaria, fucking Woodburn,
I would rather bring through Ajaria, who's arguably the best player in Europe. Ojo. Ojo, I'm serious.
Yeah, but he's going to say,
with the Nugget, they've never had any game time.
Ojo has.
But he's not really.
In Klopp's fourth season, and none of this bollocks that Klopp's only had one season in charge. He's had two seasons. He played more games in his fourth season in charge than Rodgers had in his last season, right? But Ojo played
Because he's not good enough.
Exactly. There's no point you can say all this.
No, he had a bad injury. He's not good enough. Ojo's not good enough.
But the looks of Woodburn, if you look at the Stoke game and they all played, we were crap for the first half. And then until he changed it, they're not.
Well, I'm not talking about Cock Woodburn.
The England under 20s won the World Cup there. with a few championship players, and Ojo couldn't even get a game in that team.
But that's because Everton have all the best players in England. Yeah. So
you know, you have players from Championship that were starting for them.
Don't worry under about 20s. Those under 21 World Cups.
Ojo couldn't. I think I'd give you the chance, but Ojo would.
It doesn't sound like you would, Joe.
No,
I'm with Joe on this one. Because Ojo is not.
But if you're not good enough, I don't care how young you are, or where you're from, or he's a Liverpool local lad. I don't care. If you're not good enough, you don't.
I reckon you don't like Ojo because every time the commentator says his name, you think someone's calling him.
It reminds him of his missus. Ojo! Ojo!
Ojo! Ojo!
and you've got like,
we need to get rid of him. I'm paranoid to fuck watching him.
I don't know what's going on.
Fuck's sake.
Listen, who knows about Ojo, but
in midfield, coming back to start the next season, you've got a Jarry Grujic to come into the squad.
No, you're forgetting Grujic.
He's expected to make the breakthrough. You've got then.
Jarry is not going to come in the squad. Let's just put that to bed. I know you think he's amazing, but he's not.
He will.
You said he was better than Pogba last season.
He is.
More influential, you know.
He is.
I think Woodburn will make the step up. I think Bruce will make the step up.
What about Harry Kent?
Kent won't. Wilson might.
What about his brother Ryan Kent, who plays
Wilson? Harry Kent. Ryan's definitely making it.
Yeah, he's leaving.
Harry not so much.
Kent's going to go, I think that Wilson Clark and Woodburn are the two that might make it. Brewster. I like Brewster as well, the striker.
Brewster. I don't think Brewster gets anywhere near.
What do you like about Brewster?
Because he's so young.
Because that sounds like Jonathan Tah all over. You know what I mean? How much of Brewster have you seen?
Loads. Millions.
Lord, I like Brewster. Would you ever fuck off?
He scored like 50 million goals for the under.
Has he broken threes? Michael Owen's record for goals scored in a season?
Until that's done, nobody's making it.
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
Just get it done.
No. What about Danny Pacheco's?
Oh, he's broken that.
he's broken that one.
He helped Getafe to get promoted to La Liga the weekend. So
who did? Back.
Danny Pacheco.
Pacheco,
40 million? Get him on the plane.
See Suso's stats in Serie A.
Suso has the most assists for an under 23 year old. There's no way he's under 23.
Get Suso back.
Eric Pogba.
Yeah, exactly. Pogba. We're going to have him back in a couple of years.
Jerry is better than Pogba.
We have to sell him for Eric Pogba, though.
On that,
do we still own Suso?
No, we actually sold him to AC Milan. Didn't loan him for free and then not buy him. That they did with most of your players they've loaned off us. Stephen.
Yes, Philip.
Coming up, anyway, is this friendly against the Bilbao game you're going to?
I'm not. I'm going to be away, unfortunately, in Germany.
Whereabouts are you going to?
I'm going to Germany.
Whereabouts?
I'm going into Hamburg and then I'm driving the whole length of Germany down to Munich.
Are you?
Over the space of 4 days, yeah.
Any chance you're bumping into John Dantá?
Well, he's a giant fat cunt, so he's bound to take him to half of Germany. There's a 50% chance I'll bump into John
Dantá. If he frequents, you know, very seedy brothels.
Salubrious. I only have the salubrious brothels, David.
Not seedy ones. How dare you?
As the money runs out, his standards get lower and lower and lower. By the time he gets to Munich, he'd be like a dollar in. And
will you be bringing any players which in the boot of your car to sell?
It'll be a pretty big boot.
Will it?
So I could get two or three in there.
Do you? Right. On that basis, who do you expect? Like the list, they keep the list.
Are you talking about who's going to come over and play here?
Forgetting who's coming over, but who do you think is going out the door? Like looking at it, they've mentioned Stewart.
I think Stewart's gone.
Yeah.
10 million just, quid. Whether Keita gets done or not, there's no real place in the midfield for Stewart. If Grujic is to come through, if Ajari is to have a chance, even with Lucas going, I don't think there's a place for Kevin Stewart, which is a pity, but it just didn't happen for him. He got his chances, he didn't take them, is what it is. I think he goes. I don't know if Ryan Kent goes permanently, even though it's been spoken about. Listen, I don't believe what's in fucking papers anymore. It's all bollocks, just two clicks. So
Steve is a flat earther.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a flat earther. When they fucking have somebody else's scarf or a Liverpool scarf, then it's happened. Up till that, it's just bollocks in the transfer.
Corps are all perception. Think about it.
Everything's all baseball. It doesn't care. Think about it. Sorry, Steve. Sorry, you're being serious about
not really. I don't know who. Yeah, Stewart goes.
Moreno.
Flanagan should go.
Moreno.
Moreno goes.
Markovic.
Sacco. Origi should go.
Lucas. Sturridge.
He won't, but he should.
I think Sturridge stays. I agree. I think Sturridge stays.
I don't think we'll get rid of Sturridge. I
I would keep Sturridge and Binnery.
West Ham signed Sturridge for 2025.
I think he's a last week of the window.
Yeah. He is still
30 million.
Yeah, if you're a mid-table side, I still think Sturridge can get you 20 goals. He is someone, only a couple of years ago, was England's main man. Like he's not that old. So I think definitely someone will take a risk on him.
I don't think we'll sell Origi or Sturridge. I think we'll keep Sturridge, and I think we'll loan out Origi. And I think they're going to try to get Origi a full season of playing week in, week out.
Could send him to Huddersfield.
Something like that, right? To send him week in, week out to try to get as much experience under his belt so he's not sitting on the bench. And they're going to use Ings as the player that comes in and out of the team.
I think Origi would be a great signing for Huddersfield. He'd give them a chance of staying up.
I think Sturridge stays because if you look at the West Ham game, I think he was trying to do this for a bit where he plays two up front, and I reckon you've got Origi and Sturridge. I've got Sturridge saying, and say, God forbid, Salah and Mane are injured, you can play two up front. Yeah. So I thought of it a while ago that you'd go, and I reckon, I don't think you will at the moment.
You know, we have the best player in the world in Solanke, who needs game time, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing, does Danny Ings get any game time?
I think he does. Christmas though, will he not be? He's not back in training yet.
He is.
There's a video on there now of him individual training. Yeah. I don't think he's in team training.
I don't think because I was reading it.
No, he's in team training. They're on fucking holidays.
Yeah, what
you know what I mean? PC. Contact training,
That's because they're on holidays. There's nobody contact. They're just under the individual zone.
And
if he's back.
He's done his cruise. I think it's a relatively reasonable turnaround from individual training back into it goes straight lines, then it's fucking twisting and turning, then it's working with the ball, then it's contact.
Don't encourage him.
I still have my doubts about Ings.
No, I'm just talking about him being back.
Yeah, but I know, but Ings, without all these injuries, was probably someone you could use, but no, I think he might be the player he was at all. I don't know, I'd be still reluctant to have him as someone that you rely on week in, week out off the bench.
Plus, of course, Joe Gomez is going to sign him.
Well, Joe Gomez, if what we heard is true, he will be on his way to Southampton once Van Dijk is done with ourselves.
The email you're checking there now, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah, I am. Yeah,
we're just hacking into Southampton's email.
They said 70 million and Gomez, and we've said no. 75 million
and Gomez. And Lucas.
Right, lads, a couple of quick questions that were posed to us. McGregor, Mayweather, does Conor win with any outcome due to the 100 million in his bank account after? Also predictions.
What do you mean? So he doesn't win the fight, no.
But does he win because he's got 100 million in the bank account?
Of course. Like, fair play, I hope he wins. I'd like to see him knock that wife-beating fucking twat's head off, but it isn't going to happen because he's not a boxer. But he walks away, he probably won't walk away with 100 million, but whatever he walks away with, it's a great payday for him. You know, considering that, and he's made the best of himself, and you can't argue with that,
Joe, yourself, any thoughts on the fight?
I don't think he has a chance, but it's still, it'll buy us, it'll still make huge amounts of money. Yeah. And just for the whole build up, it'd be worth it alone. But no, I don't think he has a chance of beating him.
Robbie?
I don't think so.
I would love to see him knock him out, though.
I would myself, but
imagine that.
Who, Mayweather?
Yeah, imagine he got lost to a non-boxer.
But that's what they're going to sell it there, this knockout power. And that's what everyone will buy in the hope that there'll be one
point. But he won't get touched. You think about who Mayweather's beaten, Hatton, Pacquiao, all these guys are big punchers.
I'm just disappointed they didn't do a round of boxing and a round of MMA and then a round of boxing and a round of MMA. Yeah. That would have made it more interesting. If you're just going to have a pretendy fight.
Anyone that an expert in these sports say 10 seconds at MMA, that's McGregor would beat him. So
it works both ways.
Yeah,
maybe the rematch
would be the end of the match. Yeah. And then it's like Rocky versus Thunderhill Lips in Rocky 3.
Then the third match, they just have to have a random sport, maybe air hockey or something.
You know, they called it a draw in the end, Rocky and Thunder Lips. So maybe that's what will happen.
Yeah, a nice draw. And they just hug each other at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just rains fucking $100 bills.
Then he fights Mr. T, and Mr. T batters him. So there's a lesson there.
Right, so what's the stupidest, most irrelevant, or most ridiculous thing you've ever massively lost your temper over, and how badly did you react? Dave Thomas.
The stupidest what?
Most ridiculous or irrelevant thing you've ever massively lost your temper over, and how badly did you overreact?
So the worst I've ever lost my temper over something stupid was I went to Tesco in Waterford, and it was in a bad part of Waterford, and to get a trolley in there, you had to give a €5 to get a trolley, right? As like a deposit. So they give you a token when you're walking around the store. So I'm doing the shop now with the missus. Christmas time it was. And I took the trolley back, but I'd lost the token. And the guy wouldn't give me my €5 back. And I'm like... I just kept saying, but I've got the trolley. Like, I've got the trolley. And he's like, yeah, but you haven't got the token. I know, but I've got the... What do you think? I just picked up a trolley trying to con you out of €5. And I spent like €200 on a shopping, and this is how bad I overreacted. I ended up bringing all the shopping back, dumping it on the floor in Waterford and getting a full refund on my shop just because they wouldn't give me €5 back. But do you know what the worst thing is? The worst thing was my wife was like 7 months pregnant and we had to go to Dunn Stores afterwards to do the shop again.
So that's, you lost that's big the time. Worst.
I was, but seriously, I was like, what is this? Some scam going on? Do people bring in trolleys to get a fiver off? I'm like, fucking hell. Like, I just spent €200.
This is your trolley. It says Dawn's on it. Yeah.
But do you know what, you keep saying something, thinking if I just say it a different way, they'll understand? Because I was like a moron. I just kept going, but I've got the trolley. Like, I've got the trolley. How can you not give me the money back? No, we need the token. But I've got the trolley. Like, you know, I should have taken the trolley. I should have said, okay, well, it's mine now. If you're not going to give me the fiver, the trolley's mine.
I'm going, good luck.
Yeah, fuck off.
I'm going to the back of the car.
The missus going, do you want to leave that here? No, fuck that.
That's cool. We're
coming home now.
Let the kids wait. We'll be back.
Yeah. No fucking food, but I'm taking the trolley home.
Joe. Now, I don't want the ombudsman onto us over this, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to pass on this one. I cracked a few skulls at the bat. Like,
at the Pride March.
Christ, Phil, let's throw it to you. What's the worst you've overreacted?
I overreact nearly every single day, so it's not like... I think I got... The car was clamped one day, and I lost the plot down the phone.
Yeah,
because they were literally, they were like, it was the worst customer service ever, and I was, they just kept telling me lies, blatant lies, and I just completely lost the plot over them. I ended up screaming down the phone at them, and then I had to ring them back and say, yeah, look, I'll pay the €80.
Turns out I need my car more than you need my car.
You know when you're out with the clamp and I was fucking kicking it and everything.
Same word answers.
Yeah. Do you take Visa debit?
But actually, unclamp it. I did the same. I was parked in
Dublin. Thank you very much for
sharing your assistance. You know that?
Yeah, this is what fucking happened.
So I parked it and it gives you, you select red or yellow zone depending on where you are. So I select red and parked, come back, clamped. I ring, I'm like, no, I paid. And they said, yeah, but you selected red zone and you're in a yellow zone. And I'm like, but the red zone is more expensive. So I've overpaid to park you. Doesn't matter. Still got to pay the clamp fee.
Human error.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell.
I sent them in. I appealed it and all to Dublin County Council, right?
I appealed the new class.
Unsuccessful. Yeah. And I had
no point in appealing. You're never, ever getting your money.
I had proof I wasn't fucking there. Like, I could prove I wasn't in the area. But the problem was,
how can they clamp if you weren't in the area?
Yeah. What they do, just send them the fine. They just put a clamp in an empty parking space and send them the fine.
I don't know. They drove to his house. No, he left this earlier, mate. There we
no,
go.
Yeah. Listen and learn, right? So I parked outside on Mespel Road in one spot, drove off at lunchtime because I was on a business lunch, went off, came back, had all the receipts from it, right? And also where I parked while I was there, right, with the car. Came back, parked again at Mespel. Your man came around with the voice, right? And I was paying with the parking app as I was walking into the office, right? But I paid in the lift. So the connection didn't happen. You had to wait till the connection came through. In the time it took me to get out of the lift, get the signal again and the thing to go through, I had the time. It was 21 minutes. I paid at 22 minutes past.
So this is actually translated into, I got in the lift, the signal went, someone got talking to me, I forgot. 20 minutes later,
I want to know how he got clamped at a place he wasn't parked.
Because your man,
this is
3 hours.
When they went, right, and they checked the car, they saw that the last paid ticket for Mespel Road was at, say, 20 past 12.
Yeah.
So I'd come back and park again, not in the same place, but on the same road.
Yeah.
So they were saying that the car was there 3 hours. Now, normally, if you've only parked there and there's no record of it,
you
get 15 minutes grace.
Yeah,
they're
saying
there was no grace period. It was already up.
Because you're at another park.
And they lashed the clamp straight on it.
All right.
So now.
Yeah. Anyway. Right.
Let's wrap her.
That's it.
Yep.
Anyway, thanks, gents. Thanks for coming in. Robbie, thanks for coming in. Joe, thanks for coming in. Yeah, we'll have you back on again as the season goes on, because we are getting bigger and bolder and brighter. And there's a surprise at the end of the week. A big surprise. It's so exciting. So exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really exciting.
Is that the thing I got to do something for?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck's
sake. Oh, no. Yeah. Don't sound too enthusiastic about it, Dave.
And me.
And Stephen.
Load of bollocks.
Load of bollocks. Right. But thanks again, gents. Okay, that was the podcast. Big shout out to all the lads who look after us here in the Astro Park, especially Dale, who's giving away the free discounts for free games of football here in the Astro Park on the 11-side pitch. So get down to Dale. You want to play 11-side football, just tell Dale, and Dale will give you a free game of football. There's a big grass pitch at the back of the Astro Park that you're going to use. Also, big thanks to the lads coming in tonight. Of course, that was Joe, Robbie, Dave, Steve-O, myself. It's great to have more new boys on board, more new voices that will get better as the matches go on, you know, the transfer window, blah blah blah, all that type of stuff. Remember, kids, ITKs don't really know much, just make stuff up and put it out there and you all lap it up. So stop lapping it up. Just when you hear that we're talking to people in emails, it never happened. Never happened. It's fax machines. You should know that at this stage with Liverpool Football Club and Athletic Grounds. Good night. God bless.